and then they're going to eat me. Oh my God!
You've had a good day, good time, good life, good home, good job, good wife. You're right on time for a bad movie night. You've had a shitty day, shitty job, no life, broken home, born alone, no wife. You're ready to hear a bad movie night. You've had a good day, good time, good life, good home, good job, good wife. You're right on time for a bad movie night. You've had a shitty day, shitty job, no life, broken home, born alone, no wife. You're ready to hear a bad movie night, a bad movie night.
All right, welcome to the Bad Movie Night podcast, the inaugural first episode. This is kind of a big deal.
Yay!
This is 2 years in the making with the website, but we've been doing Bad Movie Nights now for many, many years, about seven years, I think. I am Aaron Vaquero, and my other co-hosts are...
This is me, Nazli Alimi. I know that name is kind of weird, but yeah, that's what they gave me.
They.
I'm Jeffrey Tafaro. I'm the sound dude.
He is the sound dude, and he is the one who created that theme song. So he is our jack of all trades here at Bad Movie Night. So this is very exciting. You know, this has been, like I said, it was a long time in the making, and I'm very happy that we finally are going through with this. And hopefully the internets feels as excited as we are. So it feels like a natural place to start that, you know, you guys don't know us. We don't know you. That to kind of share some of our a couple of our favorite bad movies. Yeah. So, Nazli, what are a couple of your favorite bad movies?
Well, the first thing that came to mind, which I don't consider to be a bad movie, but society, quote unquote, does, is Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, I love it so
think
much.
You knew I was gonna say that first, probably, but
and I knew you were gonna say it, so that's why I didn't choose that as one of mine, because that would have been up there too.
I'm sorry.
So that's
you can,
why
you can say it too if you want. I'd understand, but if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you finish listening to what we're doing here and then go watch it. Don't tune out.
Jack Burton is pretty much one of the most epic hero characters I think in any movie ever. Like, he's my hero, and he's wearing a sleeveless t-shirt and really tight jeans and cowboy boots, and he's awesome.
No, they're like Eskimo boots.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
they are like
Eskimo weird boots. Eskimo boots.
My favorite line of that movie is when he's in the whorehouse, and he's on the bed, and it doesn't, like, it's not funny to really, but, like, the way he does it is the best. He has a tie, and she's trying to take it off. He's like, yeah, I know what you mean. My wife gave it to me for Christmas.
It makes no sense.
It has no relevance. But I'm just like, that's genius.
That's how good of an improviser Jack Burton is in dicey situations.
It's
that.
True.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, Big Trouble in Little China, and...
Again, I grew up with this movie, and it's kind of in the same vein of like the Big Trouble in Little China is Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon, which also has a Reloy. You know, his name is Leroy, but his little brother, it's his brother who Reloy? Calls him and yells out the window. He's like, hey, Reloy. And no one seemed to catch it.
Yeah, and it's and he's never called Reloy ever again in the movie.
Ever.
Like, that's his nickname or anything.
Nope.
It's like that actor was just had a temporary, like, 3 second dyslexia.
And nobody picked
and
up.
And everyone else
nobody,
in the world on that set did too.
Yeah, and you know, everyone's like, it's too expensive to shoot that scene again. Let's just go, Reloy. That's fine. No one's even gonna watch this
everyone
movie.
Just cooked up anyways.
Yeah, it's true. It was like the early 80s.
It's great. Let's do it.
Speaking of which, great soundtrack, Vanity. I forget the other dude who sings like the theme song, the last dragon.
Oh, it's
you
it's
are
so
a dragon.
Good.
So that's two, and then three is, I mean, I hope I didn't steal this from you, but the original Dawn of the Dead.
Oh no,
which brings back a lot of memories, you and I, my friend.
Yes,
but
to me, that's I would be doing a disservice to call that a bad movie.
I know.
I know that to a lot of people, it has a cult following, and it, the people, it's considered a little hokey, a little cheesy, but it's I've I've seen that movie so many times, and it's like fused to part of my soul. But no, that is a great movie, and also a very bad movie at the same time to some people.
Yay.
Not I. Yeah. Jeffrey, what about you?
Well, I knew you guys were gonna go that route.
Straight up. You don't know what route I'm going yet.
You don't know me.
I haven't said shit.
I have an idea, but for me, one of my top, and I know this is gonna get made fun of a lot. The Cutting Edge.
Oh, I love that movie.
And it's not just like my top. It's one of my top movies of all time. I love that movie.
Nice.
And
toe pick.
Yeah, there's never been a movie where a toe pick has been more featured in any movie ever.
Chemistry is palpable. Moira Kelly and D.B. Sweeney. You're not gonna find that.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm Facebook friends with D.B. Sweeney. So D.B., if you're listening to this, what's up, buddy?
Don't forget that a younger John Locke, what's his name?
Is in that movie too.
Yes.
That's right.
The overbearing father.
That's right. That is.
I'm
not going to break your balls over it. Because,
it's a good movie.
I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. I think maybe me and Aaron talked about it. But this movie, a buddy of mine introduced me to when I was working at Blockbuster years ago. Cuba Gooding Jr. and Tom Berenger, Murder of Crows. And if you've never, ever seen this movie...
That has, like, straight-to-VHS written all over it.
It was completely... And it's just essentially the plot is... he's a lawyer who... Cuba Gooding Jr. is a lawyer who gets disbarred. And this guy presents him with a novel. And he's like, you could... It's, like, so, like, retarded. And then it turns out all the murders in the novel are true. And it's...
What?
And it has Eric Stoltz being, like, the... worst bad guy. It's there. It's weird.
And this is one that you didn't just see once, but you could watch over and over again just because you revel in its badness.
Yes, I do.
Can I go on a quick tangent?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Murder of Crows, which is very weird that you bring that up today, when I was on my way to Aaron's on Barrington when it turns into McLaughlin, mm-hmm. I shit you not. It was probably about six blocks. The telephone wires. All crows for like
Birdemic.
The entire Birdemic fucking line was like covered. It was Birdemic, Murder of Crows, crazy shit. I wish I could have taken a picture, but I'm not that good of a photographer. So you just have to believe me.
Well, I don't, so.
But talk about a secular. Good segue. All
right, so.
It's your turn.
My turn, okay.
I can keep going, but you should.
Yeah. Well, I would say my top three. Killer Clowns from Outer Space is, like Dawn of the Dead, one that's very an integral part of my being. Right. And I kind of feel like the Chiodo brothers are like the most underrated geniuses that have ever worked in the film industry. I mean, they are just, you know, masters of puppetry and I hate clowns. Clowns scare the shit out of me. But there's something weirdly comforting when I watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It's nostalgic. And yeah, they don't seem like that bad. Yes, they put you in cotton candy cocoons and suck your blood out.
Did you want to eat the cocoons too?
Oh, they look so good. They look delicious.
I want a big straw.
Until when they pull it off and you see the dude's bloody face. And I was like, okay, I'm not hungry for it anymore.
But I
love that movie. And I love, the acting is so epically bad in it. And it's got, what's his name, the Dean from Animal House in it.
Oh, my God, Dean Wormer. I don't know what his real name is.
He's the sheriff, right?
Yes.
He's the sheriff
who gets turned into a marionette puppet, or not a marionette puppet, a hand puppet.
Yeah, he is.
And he draws a lipstick. Oh, it's pretty incredible.
Awesome.
Breaking, with an apostrophe at the end. If you're not familiar with that movie, it is a movie about breakdancing, when breakdancing was the shit back in the 80s.
When did that come out?
I want to say, early to mid-80s. And it totally was capitalizing on the craze of breakdancing, but was a horrible movie. But the best part of Breakin', with an apostrophe at the end, is Jean-Claude Van Damme in a unitard dancing in a dance sequence.
Wait, how do I
Venice
not remember
Beach.
That?
It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in a movie ever. Because you can tell he just got off a plane from Brussels.
Yes.
Like, this is his first time this is the first movie he got cast in. And he's so stoked to just be an extra in the background.
Awesome.
And he's just, you know,
you guys can't see Aaron is dancing like Jean-Claude Van Damme right now.
There's this intense breakdance fight going on right on the Venice Beach boardwalk.
Awesome.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme's just in the background, just busting a move and just feeling it and like thrusting his pelvis. It's epically ridiculous. And that's That makes it one of my, and okay, and last one, a more modern day one, has to be Snakes on a Plane.
I was going to say Snakes on a Plane. I'm glad yeah. that I left it for you.
I have to say, Snakes on a Plane was our first bad movie night field trip.
Yeah.
Basically, with bad movie night, we all gather at one of our houses, watch a terrible movie while we get inebriated and make fun of it. And then we just kind of have a great time. But we had a bad movie night field trip where we actually went out to the theater, and Snakes on a Plane was our first movie of that. And I can honestly say I don't know if I've ever had more of a fun theatrical going experience.
Yeah.
It was like the whole audience was completely on board with the campiness of the movie, and no one was taking it too seriously. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. So that one has good memories in. But you know, you'll hear, you know, throughout the podcast, you will hear so many other movies that we are obsessed with and love.
Yep.
But now's a good time, I guess, to tell you if you do want to contact us. The best way to do it would be emailing us at podcast@badmovienight.com, and that's night spelled N-I-T-E. Again, it's podcast@badmovienight.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, where our handle is badmovienightcom, because Bad Movie Night was taken.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck
and
those
it's someone,
guys.
And it's someone who's not even using it. They haven't like logged in since 1987 or
do
something.
Do you think it's kind of weird that, like, independent of our little circle in this little tiny corner of the world, all these other people were doing like bad movie nights too, or like it became like this thing all around the same time,
like
I don't
cow
know.
Parties.
I will tell
I
you
think
that
it's really weird.
It's weird, and it blew my mind last night because I went to this thing at local theater at the Cine Family Theater over here called Found Crap, and it's put on by Dan Harmon and friend of badmovienight.com Rob Schraub, and it's a
best name ever.
it is pretty much the best name ever. But it was a compilation of just terrible scenes from movies and home VHS tapes and just the most like agonizingly bad stuff that he waded through to put this all together. But afterwards they you can go out on a patio and have a drink and
oh yeah,
chat
it's like a silent theater, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's a really cool theater. Yeah. And I was just walking around handing out flyers to the website, and all I could think was, these are my people. Like, everyone I went and handed up a flyer to was chatting with me about, you know, how like, oh, it's so cool. Because they're all bad movie fans. That's why they were and that theater was standing room only. So, yeah, it is
damn
weird. It's weird to see that there is this subculture of people that, and we try to figure out, you know, why exactly. I don't know if it's nostalgia or if it's just, I don't want to think it's irony, because then it sounds kind of like hipster douchey if it's irony. But there's something about that we just enjoy watching crappy stuff.
I guess.
And we hate it too. There's stuff that's so bad it's good. Stuff that's so bad it's terrible.
Depends how it's just presented.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So if it's something like Battleship, well, that's bad and we hate it. But if it's something that has kitsch value, I think, and a lot of times I think it is nostalgic because we see something that was shot in the 80s, and even though it's absolutely terrible, we enjoy it because it, you know, it does. There's something.
Brings something back.
Yeah, it takes
or
us
like
back to
like, because
that is our generation. Whatever our generation's called, that does harken back to our generation. But the last way to contact us is through our Facebook page. Please go on there and like us, and we update there every day. There's a cricket in the studio,
like,
apparently.
Oh boy.
everything's
would you mind? Thank you. This is our high tech studio at the Durango Saloon.
Like,
so.
Get on fire.
Oh, boy.
So please don't let that cricket noise dissuade you from listening to the rest of our podcast. But our Facebook page is facebook.com/badmovienightcom, just like our Twitter, which is also badmovienightcom. So please. Yeah, those windows are open too. Please follow us. Please, you know, we update. There's updates put on the website every single day, so stay on top of it. And we're like I said, we're very excited about this podcast, and we have a lot of cool things planned for you guys for future episodes. Oh, the cricket's gone.
Yeah, you killed
how
it.
Delightful. We're gonna have reviews on future episodes. We have some guests already lined up, including Rob Schraub, who was a writer on Children's Hospital and the Sarah Silverman program, and he is Dan Harmon's on again, off again writing partner who is the creator of Community.
Can
and,
I just refer
and a
to
huge
him?
Bad movie fan, so.
Can I just call him Rob Schraub the entire time?
Totally.
Do you think he'll mind?
I think he's probably used to that.
Okay.
It does sound
it's
like
so
it's
much
just
fun
one
to
name.
Say,
yeah.
Rob Schraub.
We have my favorite little person is also going to be on the podcast, Susie Rizzito, who I don't want to tip it too much, but I'll give you a couple of her credits. She was in the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Yep.
As well as she was a penguin in Batman Returns.
Awesome.
She was one of the penguins' fleet in Batman Returns. And so
were they referred to as a fleet?
I don't know what you call a
it's like a
herd
murder
of penguins.
Of crows,
yeah.
And then
a gaggle? Is it a gaggle
well,
of penguins?
I think for Batman
no, that's geese.
They were evil and had evil intent.
Yeah,
maybe
fleet.
Fleet
sounds a little menacing. Yeah.
And so, remember, they were all like different sizes.
Yeah, and they kind of like, I feel like they kind of dove into the water like a fleet.
They did.
Like,
yeah.
So that's the first thing that popped in my head. But she's going to be on the podcast as well, and it'll be nice to get a perspective of what it is to work as a little person in the industry. And getting cast as mainly in costume, kids characters and weird creatures and stuff. So she'll have some good insight. And Darren Ewing is also somebody we're working on that I've been in contact with. He is the gentleman from Troll 2 who's the, oh my God, from our theme song. And he is a huge Bad Movie Night fan as well. So
wow.
I think in the future we might be able to wrangle him in to be a guest on the podcast. So the next segment we'd like to do is just kind of breaking down a little bit of the news that's going on in the bad movie world. There's a lot of entertainment news, and we kind of wade through stuff to find the nuggets of that have more of a cult direction, or it's just really embarrassingly bad and makes us angry and filled with fury, which I think are most of these are probably going to do. But,
or just insult you.
Yeah.
Insulting.
Yeah. But the first one is in a segment that we like to call Hollywood's perpetual raping of our youth.
It's light.
Or
yeah.
Michael Bay.
Or Michael
Just
Bay.
Just Michael Bay.
That's the shorthand for it.
Yeah.
But it really pains me to announce that there's going to be a Christmas Story 2 coming
out.
Yeah,
boo.
I mean...
Ever.
My experience with Christmas Story 2 is... Pretty much every year it comes on TBS for 24 hours.
Not Christmas Story 2.
I'm sorry. Oh,
said,
my God.
Wow, kill yourself.
I'm going to kill myself right now. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
No, Christmas Story, one of the things I love about Christmas Story is watching it for about 21 hours of the 24 hours that it's on Christmas Day because
yeah.
I just can't get enough of that movie. To me, it's a seminal classic. It's a nostalgia factor for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we grew up with that movie.
Yeah. And
it's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life, yeah.
Totally.
And
just much funnier and
yes.
entertaining.
Yeah. And and not as boring. Poor Cary Grant.
Aw. No, isn't that Jimmy Stewart?
Whatever. they're all dead guys.
Aw.
Look, you're not going to hear... Soon. Look, let's be too real. Soon. You're not going to hear much about Cary Grant or fucking Jimmy Stewart on this podcast, okay? This is not geared towards those types. So.
Old people.
Have you actually seen the... It Runs in the Family, because I've seen that movie.
No, I have not.
When I was a kid, I remember it playing on like Disney Channel.
What is that they're talking about?
If I remember correctly, it was narrated by the same person who narrates Christmas Story.
Yes, Gene Shepard.
Gene Shepard,
yeah.
And it just was then like on a summer vacation type trip. It was not
I feel like I've seen it, but I don't remember. Like, maybe I blunked it out of my memory.
It Runs in the Family.
But it sounds
that's
very
not
familiar.
The Michael like, Douglas movie when it's like the whole Douglas family and
no,
like
I
a canoe
that's what
or something.
Called, though.
It's like that's there's something it's
a family it, thing. I don't know.
It's yeah,
like
it's something. It's something corny like
but,
that.
I can't understand.
Yeah, it is pretty sad, and it makes me sad that Daniel Stern is starring in it. I mean, granted, I know like he's not very relevant anymore. He hasn't done a movie since. I can't even name the last movie.
No,
he
you know what the
yeah.
last movie I fucking remember him in is what was that one with like the Vegas and it was like Jeremy.
Oh, Very
Piven.
Bad Things.
Oh,
that's like
very
like
bad 90, movie.
That's like 98. 98. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not, that's not reason.
And that was
like
an all-star cast of like washed up actors.
They were just so bad.
It was people like on the downslope of their career. I actually happen to kind of like that movie.
I like the movie a lot.
Yeah,
it's
dark and weird and but yeah, it's I'm down with it. I don't mind it, but So to give you a little background as to what the premise is of A Christmas Story 2, the synopsis is, when 15-year-old Ralphie accidentally wrecks his dream car before even getting off the lot, he and his friends Flick and Schwartz band together to raise the money to fix it by Christmas Eve, before the car dealer reports the incident to the police. They all get their...
parentheses.
They actually, in the synopsis, they have this in parentheses with an exclamation point within the parentheses.
First. So
they all get their first jobs, but run into trouble at every turn. When things look most bleak, Ralphie finds the true meaning of Christmas with the help of his family and his friends.
But see, this is misleading.
Dear.
Because Ralphie accidentally wrecks his dream car, but then it's not his because he doesn't have a job. So he just wrecks it on the lot.
He's just assuming that he's gonna get this sweet car one
it's
day.
Like
and
Wayne's World.
It's totally
like
yeah.
Car. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say.
It's so and what really angers me is on the DVD. Okay, so if any of you really give two shits when this movie's coming out, I believe it's coming out on September.
No, it's like October. Or something.
Really, who cares? You're not. No,
it doesn't
not
matter. But because it's coming out with the fucking musical.
Right.
There so
is, as if it wasn't bad enough that they were doing a sequel, they're doing a fucking Christmas Story musical.
But see, I'm okay with the musical.
I'm not.
I'm okay with that.
I am.
Why? Why are you okay with that?
I just because I don't know. I just think I'd rather see that, and it's like it's not going to be low budget. If it's Broadway, which I don't know if it is or not, at least it'll be.
Budget or no, like, leave well enough alone. Like,
well,
that movie's so fantastic.
Spider-Man musical, but they're like, fuck it. Let's make comic book musicals. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like they're turning everything into a musical now. Like,
yeah.
Just like in Hollywood, where it's just remakes and reboots galore.
Yeah.
Everything in Broadway now, instead of doing original shit, they're all just taking a movie and turning it into a musical because it's already got a built-in audience. And everybody's so fucking lazy now and can't come up with originality. So it's just, let's just take everything that's, you know, been in a vault for 20 years or 10 years in some things, which is ridiculous. Spider-Man the musical. But yeah, it is pretty disconcerting. And the fact that the DVD box cover is such like a shameless
of the original.
It's
just like a poor man's Christmas story.
Yeah,
he's wearing the same suit, but it's not the same suit.
It's like a reindeer suit or
shit. Was his aunt made it for him?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was his aunt. Oh, sorry.
And
it just like made a weird noise. I scared you.
That's why you shouldn't eat Taco Bell before the podcast.
I know, gosh.
So yeah, and it's really bad. You know what it reminds me of kind of is those national or the American Pie straight to DVD movies that they like try to recreate like what the first ones look like, but it's all these people you've never seen before. And
that's
what it reminds me of. It's that really very straight to DVD look.
Well,
to it.
If you
on
didn't,
Blu-ray, so I never looked great.
But I don't know if you guys noticed in the back of the cover, there are two boys fighting with giant candy canes. Who I believe maybe Flick and Schwartz.
I believe they are.
It's gonna be that kind of movie.
Yup.
Yeah. I pity the kid that has to try to follow in Peter Billingsley's footsteps as Ralphie. I mean,
yeah, but the kid's like 15. Do you think he really appreciates a
Christmas
story?
No, he doesn't have any idea.
So
right.
He doesn't like know or doesn't care. Like he's just some dumb dude.
His parents probably showed it to him when he got the part.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Eh, but I'm gonna be way better than that." And yeah, respect your elders, kid. I hate you. I hate whoever you are, the star of this movie. I hate you.
Oh, did I even say his name?
No, because
it doesn't matter.
It.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
There's no Ralphie.
Yeah.
The next story we have is one that I think some of us are a little torn on. That it angers us, and it's also seems kind of cool. Scooby-Doo is going back to doing their animated movies, which is obviously better than putting Matthew Lillard and Freddie Prinze Jr. and
the
Sarah Michelle Gellar and getting any of those people any more money, because we all know that they should never be working again ever. Right. But this is going back to their roots of the Scooby-Doo movies, and they're doing a WWE collaboration.
It's a good crossover.
It is a good crossover in 1987.
Yes.
That would have been amazing with Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and Jake the Snake and the heyday. But now it's going to be like John Cena. It's just generic-y muscle man guy in cut-off jean shorts. It's It doesn't have the same appeal.
They're all the same person.
Right? Yeah,
I would have even liked it if like The Rock was still back. When
yeah,
he was like the Rock,
it like... really, in order to do it justice, because it's animated, so they got to look ridiculous, and that's right. And basically WWF characters back in that heyday were live action cartoons. Exactly. Like those guys were Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior. Those guys walked around like cartoons. So
totally.
And these guys are so generic now that. It bums me out, but we do need to read the synopsis, because the synopsis is kind of great. So there's no official title for it yet. It's just right now it's called the Scooby-Doo WWE collaboration. But the synopsis is as follows: when Shaggy and Scooby win tickets to WrestleMania, the entire gang travels in the Mystery Machine to WWE City awesome. To attend the epic event. However, when a mysterious ghostly bear appears and threatens to ruin the show, Scooby, Shaggy, Velma, Daphne, and Fred work with WWE superstars to solve the case.
I got the title of the movie.
Oh, you did?
No, I'm just coming up with it now.
Oh, please, tell me.
Scooby-Doo Suplex.
Oh, that's yeah. I like it. I do think they're probably going to go more the route of, it's going to be very basic. I think it's going to be like Scooby-Doo meet the WWE wrestlers
and hang out.
Cause I feel like, isn't that what all the old ones were? It was like Scooby-Doo and the Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, did they have like names to those?
I don't know.
Even the movie,
I guess we're not Scooby-Doo aficionados to really stay on top of it. But if anybody cares, some of the wrestlers in this movie are going to be Triple H, John Cena, Kane's got a little color to him. He's a little interesting, I guess. He's like the Undertaker's brother.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's in a red and black suit.
Undertaker had a brother?
Yeah.
Whoa.
He did. I could be wrong. I'm sure we're going to get tons of email correcting me on how my facts.
I hope so.
The Miz, Brodus Clay. All right, now losing me. I don't know any of these people. The Miz, Brodus Clay, Santino Marella, Sin Cara, AJ, and then of course Vince McMahon. Yeah, well he's a whore. He's a whore, and he'll do anything to promote his sport. And you know what? More power to him. He's very rich. So yeah, look for that when it comes out. In
who knows
sometime it'll be out soon.
Someday.
So yeah, I think we're a little torn on that. Next is the new Nick Cage movie.
Yes.
And
God, oh boy.
It's been far too long since we've got a Nick Cage movie. I mean,
No, wasn't the last one where he was like a knight or like something?
Oh,
ridiculous?
Season of the Witch? Oh, yeah. Was that the last one? Or was Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans?
I think Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch? Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Season of the Witch looked really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're calling this our trailer trash portion. We're not playing the trailer for you. Maybe in a future episode where we become a little more tech savvy with how this podcast stuff works, but
yeah.
probably not. No.
But basically, go check out the trailer for Nick Cage's new movie. It's called Stolen. And yes, if that sounds similar to a movie you may have already seen starring Liam Neeson called Taken. That's because it's almost a complete blatant ripoff of the movie.
Yeah,
it's like a shot for shot.
Yeah, I mean, even the poster art, I think they use the same font that whatever studio made Taken used for their poster, and it's ridiculous, and I mean, it's fitting that Nick Cage is starring in this movie. I don't think he reads any scripts.
No.
I think he just needs the money.
His wax brain face.
He's got such tax issues that I don't think he can afford to read any scripts. I think at this point he's just gonna be like, okay, yeah, where do I sign? I mean, I think he's just doing anything that comes across his.
Who are these people with their fucking tax problems, dude? Like, you make that much fucking money and then
it's absurd, right?
Like, I'm sorry, you bought those 7 houses in fucking New Orleans.
I
like, what's wrong with you?
Every month, it's
almost the same thing.
It
is pretty much. I mean, that's our equivalent.
Their Maserati.
Your Hyundai.
Yeah, but same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, yeah, now I feel a little more sympathetic for Nick Cage.
Yeah.
I see why he has to do Stolen.
You can relate to Nick Cage.
Yeah, I think I can. But for anybody who cares, this movie comes out on September 14th. It says in theaters, but I don't really know if that's going to wind up happening. I think they might be saying in theaters, but I have a feeling it might be maybe two, maybe three theaters. This movie really has kind of straight to DVD written all over, and I think he's kind of venturing in that territory now because
he last has few been movie, for a long his, time.
But yeah, and his last few movies have really bombed. Yeah. They've been really he disappointing. Has no draw. Yeah, he has no draw anymore. So
yeah,
you know, he can join Steven Seagal and make, you know.
Oh no, wasn't Ghost Rider 2 his last movie?
Yeah,
that's
I don't know if it was his last movie.
That was one of his
very
last
recent.
Ones.
Yeah,
I'm sure we're gonna get tons of emails about how we got Nicolas Cage's last movie wrong, but. Oh, that's gonna be so annoying. I have to wade through all those emails, but
all four all of them. Four. Get out of my brain.
All 17.
But I was gonna ask seriously because I watched this preview earlier today for the first time, and like it's when it was showing the credits, it still has Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage. And it's like in the same vein of Cuba Gooding Jr. Like.
Yeah.
You can't use that after a while.
They do. They will use it.
They'll use it forever, and it's not. Yeah. I don't think that's cool,
it'll
man.
Be on his tombstone.
You know, I think once you win it, you have free reign to just use it whenever. And I think it's shameless. And I think if I were him, I would be ashamed allowing them to put Academy Award winner on there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
He should be.
Because really, is anyone going to see Stolen care that Nicolas Cage was an Academy Award winner? I don't think that's really their target demographic. I don't think it's the same people who saw Leaving Las Vegas that are going to go see Stolen. So
maybe not.
I think it's falling on deaf ears, but it's wait, can we back up 1 second and talk about Josh Lucas in the trailer?
Oh yeah, what
oh,
was
yeah,
that
I didn't
all
even
about?
Know it was. You told me, I'm
right?
Like, no,
yeah.
It's not.
I always associate him as like the preppy and beautiful mind, like the like cocky preppy Harvard kid who's
was he in Beautiful Mind?
Yeah, he's John Nash's like biggest rival at Harvard or whatever, and he's you know this real arrogant prick, and now we're seeing him with. Do you have dreadlocks in this?
I think he has.
No, that's Bradley Cooper in the Dax Shepard movie, whatever that's called.
Yeah, the other Hit and Run.
Which horrible wig
weekend,
and like makeup jobs. Well, it looked terrible.
Horrible.
For another day.
This is why you don't give Dax Shepard a movie to make.
No.
He wrote and I think might have directed it.
Really?
And yeah.
Wow. Douche.
Will you help me out?
At least he's got Kristen Bell.
Do I get to wear a shitty wig? Then yes, I'm
Am
in.
Am I only in 11 scenes? Great, let's do it.
And he probably got paid a shit ton of money, too.
Really?
I'm sure. I mean, it's a studio movie, so.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But Stolen, the basic premise, Nick Cage is a bank robber who gets caught on some big job, gets thrown in jail, gets out of jail, tries to reconnect with his estranged daughter. Then his daughter gets kidnapped by his old partner who wants the money that Nick Cage owes him. But there's that whole same like cell phone scene, like in Taken, but it's Nick Cage, you know, saying like, I'm going to find you. And it's.
Oh, someone, it did?
Someone needs to do a super cut.
Yeah.
Oh, scene by scene.
Just like make it this like.
Yeah, it's a. Oh, God. It's going to be bad. I'm going to watch it. And I'm probably going to cry all the way through it, but I'm going to get all the way through it because I'm a glutton for punishment like that.
Isn't there a Taken 2 that's coming out too?
Yeah, there is.
So they need to compete with each other the same weekend, I hope.
I really don't think there's any competition there.
I don't even come out like the same
weekend. Oh, Taken was amazing. And I'm totally on board for Taken 2. It could be very much the same exact story for the most part, but I'm in. I don't care.
Is Liam Neeson kicking ass?
Yeah. Yeah, he is pretty.
That's just his resume now.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all he needs.
I went to see The Gray in the theaters too, just based on Taken. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna see Liam Neeson fight some wolves.
He didn't really fight the wolves.
Spoiler alert: if you haven't seen The Gray, plug your ears right now and sing a song to yourself. But it's it is a little anticlimactic at the end. Nalzi, have you seen The Gray or no?
No, but tell me.
It was good. It's good tone. Very man centric.
It builds to this epic finale where, like, everyone else in... Because it's a plane that crashes.
Okay.
And these guys are all work at an oil rig or something out in Alaska. Oh, pipeline out in Alaska. And they're all on their way home to go see their families.
The people from the thing. Like,
shit. Awesome.
And their plane crashes in the middle of the Alaskan wilderness during this huge blizzard.
Of course.
And immediately the wolves... And Liam Neeson's character his job at the oil pipeline is to keep the wolves away from the oil workers. So he has like
job.
A sniper rifle and he just shoots them. And so that's a badass enough setup. And then so the wolves start hunting these guys one by one, and Liam Neeson winds up being the last one left. Oh. And he, like, breaks these little mini alcohol, like the airplane alcohol bottles, and straps them to his knuckles, like, because the wolves have him surrounded. Oh. And so he's just, you know.
But that's it.
And then it cuts to black, and it's, you know, because you know he's going to die. There's like 12 wolves
there's no
there.
Victory.
And he's
why does he have the alcohol?
Because he's going to slash him, like Wolverine style.
He breaks them so they're like.
Yeah. He
shatters
him.
Oh, I thought you meant, putting alcohol on his knuckles.
That was an important detail I left
like
out.
Like Kickboxer.
Yes, exactly like Kickboxer. Nice. Clearly he was, Liam Neeson's character, I think, was a Kickboxer fan.
It was based on Jean-Claude Van Damme's life before he became a movie star.
Indeed.
He didn't die, he just came to Hollywood.
I think we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge Tony Scott's death. Obviously a tragedy, a great filmmaker.
Sad.
Committed suicide, jumping off a bridge just over a week ago in San Pedro, California. We still don't really know his motives. Who knows what was going on in his life? But we wanted to kind of, you know, take a moment to, in a segment we like to call IMDb That Shit, Bro. And we will have a sound drop for that at a certain point in time. Yep. But IMDb That Shit, Bro is basically where we kind of go to the internet, into a website that we all rely on very much, imdb.com, and we kind of go over the whoever we're searching, their kind of resume.
Now, should we just do produced or directed? I think directed.
Whatever movies that, you know, strike you that Tony Scott did that maybe our listeners might not be aware of that he had a hand in. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know the last few ones he did because they all kind of blur together. You know, they're all kind of like Denzel Washington, like, I'm a badass, kind
of. Standing in behind, like, in front of fire.
Yeah.
He's always standing
with,
in front
with
of
like,
fire.
With, like, lens flares going on, and it's very dramatic. But I think most of us are probably more partial to his early work.
One of my favorites is Last Boy Scout.
I love that
one. Great one. And a perfect example of a movie that our listeners may not know about. Is True Romance, of course. True Romance to me is not a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination, but one of my favorite movies of all time. On the bad movie front, I'd say probably Days of Thunder, which is kind of a guilty pleasure of mine.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because I hate NASCAR and I hate race cars.
But they made it exciting and
but it's so overdramatic and ridiculous, and Tom Cruise is. I kind of liked Tom Cruise back in the 80s. He was kind of a cool dude. Before I knew he was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's...
Insane again. Recently.
Did he?
I don't know.
Did you see Rock of Ages?
Well, nobody did either.
But he's acting. Oh, yeah, that's true.
But he's acting.
He's
that's
an actor.
That's what he wants you to think.
So mine, I was going to do True Romance.
Wow.
True Romance.
Right over there?
Hi. But I
hate
to. Yeah, seriously. I didn't realize that he did Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yes.
And
I
fucking
one.
Love that movie. A young Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh, that's right.
Being very badass.
Brigitte?
Isn't
that
it Brigitte?
I don't know.
That is
like
that is the proper pronunciation of
she will crush your head
Brigitte's
with her
name.
Thighs if you get her name pronounced wrong.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but news that saddens me almost as much as Tony Scott's death was the fact that he was working on a remake of The Warriors before
what?
He died. Yeah, that was one of the things that he had.
For producing?
No, it was a project in development. I don't know if he was going to produce it.
No.
And that's another one of my favorite bad movies of all time.
Yeah.
That's another one that's near and dear to my heart. And to imagine that being remade, it would make me a little sad. So I hope nobody kind of carries, you know, takes that torch and runs with it, because I think that maybe is better off not being remade. But
if not him,
I mean, I definitely don't want Michael Bay to do a Warriors remake. But
probably.
I've talked so much shit on the internet about Michael Bay, he knows
he's,
I hate him.
He's stalking you, shining his knife.
Maybe we can get him on the show.
maybe.
I'll get ready.
I'll call his people and see if he's got any free time. Just a couple other quick hits of things that happened more recently. Morgan Freeman has signed on to be a voice in the Lego movie. They're doing a 3D theatrical release Lego movie, and I know they've been doing Lego movies for, I think, straight to DVD and stuff like that for many years now. But it saddens me a little bit that Morgan Freeman.
That's for damn sure.
But Morgan Freeman's like, he's Shawshank. He's through the wormhole. He's not Lego. He's not Lego voiceover guy. And I don't know.
Is he just going to be called Lego? Like, is that his character?
Is he a Lego?
He is the Lego. The god of Lego. But I don't. Everything about this story seems really weird. Like, Elizabeth Banks is doing a voice. Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation. Will Arnett from Arrested Development. There's like people involved that maybe there's something we're not knowing about this. Maybe it's it a campy take on a Lego?
Growing up. Legoland. Remember, I ordered it from. Remember when you were in like elementary school? You had like the mesh paper like book club type things you'd order from.
Oh yeah, totally. I love those things.
And I had the Scholastic.
Check off like the book you want.
10 times. You can ask my mom about it. She remembers me reading it like 100 times.
Yeah.
So if it was like that,
I gotta say, cool. Not to bum out the audience, but that catalog always made me feel really poor. Because I knew, like, my mom wasn't going to be able to, like, she maybe would get me a book. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I was never really going to get a lot of books off there. And so
I used to push for the computer games every single time. I'm like, I want Mega Man 3 on PC right
Ooh.
Now.
Ooh.
I know.
That would be an impressive get. But and then apparently the film's being directed by the 21 Jump Street directors. I don't know what's going on with this movie. I'm sure we'll learn more. Because this is the first I've even heard of it, but maybe it's not as it's not gonna be as bad as we think. But it still is a Lego movie. I don't know. I mean, maybe the kids are just gonna be really stoked on it. Although they don't really care who any of those people are.
Kids are dumb.
Kids are dumb. sorry, people out there listening with kids, but
stupid babies need the most attention.
There is a movie coming out called FDR American Badass, which is coming to DVD on it'll be on demand on September 11th and will be coming on DVD.
Fitting.
Yeah. and we'll be hitting DVD on September 25th. And this is it's definitely done in the kind of grindhouse exploitation style and capitalizing, I think, on the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which I'm sure people thought was going to be really big. But Barry Bostwick of Rocky Horror Picture Show, Spin City fame, stars as
Weekend at Bernie's 2 fame.
Oh, that's right. Good call. stars as Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who after being left crippled by a werewolf bite, decides to run for president in order to stop a global werewolf curse controlled by Hitler, Mussolini, and Hirohito. I'm sold. I'm watching this movie.
Yeah,
I wish I would have written this movie. I wish I would have been every character in this movie. And go check out the trailer because it's pretty incredible. It's Lin Shaye from There's Something About Mary is also in the movie, as well as Kevin Sorbo, TV's Hercules, who will be playing Abraham Lincoln.
What?
Yeah, which I don't know how you have. I think there
he
must be
just like him.
Yeah.
He does look just like him. So, I mean, it is good casting. It is good casting.
Especially when he played Hercules.
But I don't know if they have a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure phone booth where they transfer historical figures into different time periods. I think there must be.
That's a good hybrid movie.
That is. Don't steal that, whoever's listening right now. That's, we call dibs on that. Yeah. So, and if you're in any of these cities, Cleveland on September 8th, Phoenix on Labor Day weekend, Vancouver on September 21st, Las Vegas on October 5th, and Chicago TBD. Why even put that in the article? I mean, it's like it's just a tease.
It'll be after October 5th.
It's gonna be there at some point, at Chicago. But if I mention your city and that date, that's when they'll be doing theatrical screenings of FDR American Badass. So. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm
call
sure.
In.
Yeah. call in now. And then lastly. A tried and true bad movie franchise is having its quote unquote final chapter. Lake Placid, which for those who aren't aware of it, started out as a giant crocodile movie in the mid 90s starring Bill Pullman. And Lake Placid, the final chapter, is going to be airing on Sci-Fi on Saturday, September 29th at 9 p.m. and it stars none other than Freddy Krueger himself, Robert Englund. And the this installment follows Jim Bickerman, a poacher looking to score a big break on hides and eggs from those rare crocs in Black Lake. So who cares? It's a giant crocodile movie of crocodiles eating people. And these movies are always fun. They don't take themselves too seriously, which I always appreciate in a bad movie. So check that out if you are around.
If
you can handle it. We're big fans of the sci-fi Saturday movies because they're always ridiculous and right up our alley. Now we want to move on to, I'm hoping will be a fairly regular segment called Fuck Norris. And this is basically a segment to demystify the man that is Chuck Norris, because the internet's gotten a little carried away with Chuck Norris. All the memes about how he can, you know, blow anything up with his mind or all those things. Okay. But he's kind of a dick. Like, he's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah,
Chuck
not
Norris.
As cool as we want him.
Yeah. He's
like all of our childhood heroes.
Right. Right. He's,
Well, but he would, I would wager, is like the least favorite amongst our like favorite 80s action fans.
Yeah.
Like,
I think there are people from our, I mean, that is true in this three,
us, yeah.
In this group, but I think there are people from our generation that would disagree. They were more Chuck Norris fans than Van Damme fans. They watch like Delta Force.
Yeah,
800
oh, yeah.
times. And
but wasn't he also in Ladybugs? Is that what I'm thinking of? No, not Ladybugs. Sidekicks.
Sidekick,
oh, he was in Sidekicks.
Yes,
you are
that
correct.
Was a great movie.
I feel like a lot of the Expendables. I think like Stallone and Van Damme like learn their mistakes of like shunning like fan love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just like, and
yeah.
whatever.
No, totally.
I have God on my side.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
he's my biggest fan.
To give people a little update of what Chuck Norris is, what Chuck Norris has been up to lately, he is a hardcore right-wing Republican who believes that we should be abolishing the separation of church and state, and that Bible study should be mandatory in all public schools.
Oh, Chuck!
I mean, come on, Chuck!
Oh,
really?
And, oh, Chuck!
But this week in Fuck Norris has to do with the Expendables 3. And Chuck Norris has said, nah, I'm not interested. I'm not going to do it. I did Expendables 2, and I'm done.
Wow.
Which, you know, I'm okay with that, Chuck.
Yeah,
you know what? It's very fitting of his character from the movie where he, spoiler alert, is a lone wolf.
He's a lone wolf, and, you know, he's got a...
He doesn't run with the pack.
Yeah, he doesn't run with the pack.
Didn't you feel like Chuck Norris didn't get the joke about him being Chuck Norris in the movie?
I don't think he gets the joke at
Ever.
All in
no,
life.
Okay.
Like I saw an interview with him at the premiere of Expendables 2, because that's when he announced this. It was like on Access Hollywood or something, and he announced that he's not going to be in Expendables 3.
Yeah.
And he's so clueless, and his family's so weird. And it makes you realize what happens in, you know, some families that are just so tunnel vision. And he's a strange, strange dude. But I don't think he gets it at all. I don't think he's into the joke at all.
He just seems like one, I don't know, during the movie, even though he only had, 5 minutes in the movie?
Probably
he just seemed really, like, this distant look on his face,
right?
Glazed
over,
he's just, like, lobotomy.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe. But I mean, everyone in that movie was kind of lobotomized, but, like,
yeah,
more like
true.
Frankenstein. He was more just, like, zombie people, Jesus.
But, so we say... Fuck you, Chuck Norris.
That's right.
And we'll have something new about Chuck Norris for another reason for us to hate him in our next installment of Fuck Norris. But that's
I'm
a good
sure
segue
many.
Into what our kind of main event of the podcast is talking about.
Yep.
The summer movie season's coming to an end. And shitty, shitty summer for movies.
Yeah.
Really disappointing, I think. And with the exception of one or two, it was a very disappointing summer movie season. We wanted to kind of talk about our best summer movies and our worst summer movies. So Jeff, what were your best and worst of the summer?
My best, it's a stretch because it was March, but John Carter, I love that movie. And I think it got a bad shake. I think Disney was retarded and they were like, Mars Needs Mom. That is Mars. And
people aren't going to want to see it if it has Mars in the title.
And so John Carter suffered.
So we're just gonna name it the most generic milk toasty because that name on its own.
I thought it was a George Clooney movie.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds.
I don't want to watch another political thriller. I don't need that. So.
That's true because Michael Clayton was so boring.
What? I like Michael Clayton.
That's because you're a lawyer.
No. Oh, are you kidding? I fucking hate all lawyer movies and TV shows ever created in the world. Ever.
You're about to witness our first fist fight on Bad Movie Night Podcast.
But I don't know. I just like that movie. Maybe it's because of what's his name? The British dude. What's his name?
Oh, Monty. Yes. What is his name?
Tom something?
Tom Wilkinson.
Tom Wilkinson. Oh. Teamwork.
I wish I would have seen it. I heard really good things, and I feel bad that it did so bad. It's got Riggins. It's got Riggins from Friday Night Lights in it. I love that kid.
He's okay. I'll give him a pass. But it's like people who, you know, obviously love sci-fi. I didn't know much about the books prior to seeing the movie, but I think what the movie was going for it achieved, or it was like this book. It's a 100-year-old book. It's
right.
100-year and pretty much. And I feel like if it would have gotten like the proper, like if it would have been made in the 50s, and it was like, it kind of like had that feel. It has this campy, like hokey feel to it.
Right.
And I feel like a book written in like the 1910s, if it would have been made in like 30 or 40 years later, would have felt like this. I thought they were trying to do that, and I loved it. I thought it was great. And I feel like it just got a bad shape.
I need to check it out because it's out on DVD now. Yeah, and yeah. So
Who wrote that book? Who was it?
Edward Burroughs, right?
Edward Rice Burroughs.
Edward Rice Burroughs, yeah.
He did like other famous literature.
I mean, he was considered to be way far ahead of his time.
He's in the book, and you know, I read the book, and I mean, the stuff he presents in that scientifically, you're like, I'd buy that.
Yeah,
it's like Jurassic Park. You're like, oh yeah, totally.
Oh, I'm aboard. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Amber,
let's
go make dinosaurs.
Dino DNA. Yeah.
Time travel.
I'm totally on board. All right, so John Carter, your best and your worst.
You know, I'm gonna let Nosley have hers because
I'm gonna go. You guys share your
Yeah, I don't want to share, but we all collectively hate the
Yes, movie yes, yes.
But my quick one that I thought was disappointing was Total Recall.
Yes, right.
I saw it and it's a film. It's a movie. That's all it is.
That's what I heard. I heard there was no camp element to it at all.
No, and it's like. Get behind sci-fi movies, especially future movies, but there was no style to it in the sense of like the 90s movie just wins, like,
yeah,
in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
there's no Mars, which I don't know. I heard the short story that was based on doesn't, I'm like, okay, that's fine, whatever, but
I don't care. I want Mars in it.
I get your ass to Mars. I mean,
yeah,
you don't have that line, you don't have Total Recall. I'm sorry, but they did do the 2 weeks, quick homage.
The 2 weeks homage,
2 weeks.
Oh.
It's really great. That's like a really great nod. I'll give it that.
And they had the three-titted alien, right?
Yes, they did. I thought they were going to cover it, but they actually happened.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah, at least there's some redeeming quality.
Some redeeming now you're going to see
Kate
it.
And Kate Beckinsale is such a... She's so hot. And her makeup
really
and
hot.
Her hair is impeccable. While chasing Colin Farrell for 2 hours.
Let me ask, is she in patent leather at all in this?
She is just hot. Nonstop. And she's so bad that I would surrender. And I'd be like, just take me away.
You win, Kate Beckinsale.
I'm not going to fight you, Kate.
How does your eyeshadow stay so nice? I don't get it.
How about a hug?
Nosley, what are yours?
So we're doing best and worst? Or,
yes.
Okay, we're
yes.
doing them both together. So my best, and I might get some shit for this, but it's my best because it was such a good movie, but it just left something to be desired, was... The Dark Knight Rises.
Uh-huh.
And this is Christopher Nolan, for me, really can't do any wrong. So without a doubt, if he comes out with a movie, I'm sure to enjoy it. And I love Christian Bale. I love him as Batman, even though everyone gives him shit for that too. And the villains were big shoes to fill because of how good Heath Ledger was
Heath Ledger,
in Dark Knight.
Yeah, set the bar pretty high.
But I love Bane, even though he sounds like a cheeky Sean Connery mixed with like just the guy who'd be like, yes.
You rang?
But the actor was great. For all the ladies, he is a beefcake. So
Tom
that was
Hardy?
Fun. Tom Hardy, that's his name.
If you haven't had a chance to see Bronson yet.
You guys mentioned
that
how good that movie is.
That, I mean, that's the movie that made... Tom Hardy, a star.
And
I mean, that's what got him.
He movies.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what got him Hollywood jobs, is that he's so incredible in Bronson. Oh. Not a bad movie at all. Just a badass rat.
What if it was that movie, but him in his Bane voice? Would it still hold up?
No, it would not. It would definitely would not.
If you've never seen Bronson, it's unintentionally funny.
Yes.
And really?
In a good way. Like, yeah. His character is just
batshit crazy.
Bonkers, and you're just like, what is happening?
Yeah,
and it's such a non-conventional film in any way.
Yeah. It's
what's his name? It's the director from Drive, correct?
Is it?
I think it is.
Oh.
So it's a relatively recent movie.
It is, yeah. It came out, I think, like 2008 or... Oh, that late?
No, maybe not. Maybe you're right.
I feel like it was like 2007, 2008 or something that came out. Maybe a little earlier, 2005 or something. All right, so Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, I think... I it was one of my favorites too. If I didn't have my favorite, that would be up there. Yeah, there were some things that, you know, were sloppy about it, but all in all, very entertaining. And I felt a really nice kind of summation of his trilogy. He kind of tied up the loose ends nicely. I know some people didn't enjoy the ending, but you know, he put Nightwing in there.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as JGL was introduced, I was like, if he's Robin, I'm happy.
You just call him JGL?
Yep.
Oh, you are friends.
Oh, that's funny.
I have girlfriends who'd be jealous.
What's your favorite, Nosley?
So my favorite. Worst movie?
Yes.
Oh man. Okay, so I didn't see a lot of movies during the summer, and this was earlier in the summer, I think it was like beginning of June.
Right.
Was Prometheus. And I'll admit I saw it while under the influence, and still I think, and I didn't see it 3D. I know people are going to give me shit for that, but I'm not a big 3D movie fan. Avatar had its day.
Yeah,
and it's over fucking expensive.
Yeah, it's
and I hate the glasses. It's 2012. Yeah. They still have not perfected comfortable goddamn 3D glasses. I don't understand it. Anyway.
That's because it was meant to be nothing more than just a fad. There was no reason.
Or like 20 minutes, Captain EO. That's the perfect time for a 3D
that
movie.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this one. I was trying to find the link, and I found it earlier, of the guys talking.
Yeah.
It's like a YouTube video. You guys check it out. I forget the actual website that it's from. Red Magazine. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We'll find out next week, guys, and let you know. But
it's true.
Everything was wrong with that movie. Everything.
Yeah. It was the most frustrating movie that I've seen in a very long time.
And I think a lot of it is, you know, when you release a sci-fi film, you know, you have to be particular. You have to be sure that your source, like what you're doing is, because nerds are going to tear you apart. We're going to tear you apart. But when you're setting up the universe of Alien, you can't just be like, I'm not quite sure about this.
Yeah.
I hate to say it because I'm a big Lost fan, but Damon Lindelof, I mean, he kind of did the same exact thing he did in Lost throughout.
Oh, yeah, he wrote that.
He wrote that movie, and it was just tons of open doors that were never closed, and there was no logic ever explained to anything, and it was just kind of like, oh, this would be cool if this happened. I don't care how it could happen or why it would happen or what it would cause. So it was frustrating. It was a very – the one thing it had going for it, visually stunning, and it had that H.R. Giger – complete feel of capturing that world, but it was so it was like so many good actors.
Smelling its own farts. It was
very self-indulgent,
bending over
very
and smelling its own farts. From the very first second of that movie starts as though you already knew what the fuck was going on in this movie. Like anybody was supposed to figure out like what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And then you have to like work backwards. And there are certain movies where you can work backwards and it's like, oh cool, I'm solving this as I go, but this one it was just perpetually question mark after question mark, stupid plot scenes. The two dudes who were the most fucking scared and were like, we're leaving, the one smart thing anybody's ever done in a scary movie, they're like, we're leaving, this is fucking scary.
Yeah.
They get lost, which is believable too.
No,
but then they go back. No, it might be because they're in a sandstorm or whatever they were into.
But they threw up those like globe things.
Oh, that's right, they had the fucking stupid globe thing,
the
like,
most
from
detailed
Bentham
map
China.
Ever. Yeah,
but it's so fixable where it's just like Prometheus come in,
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need.
That's all you had to do.
And then they go into the room where they left before because they're like, this is too scary.
Why go back?
See the shit fucking crawling in the water. And they're like, oh, here, little baby.
Why is the biologist treating it like it's a little puppy?
Yeah. You're terrified.
It looked like an angry vagina.
It did. It did look like an angry vagina. An angry vagina, like on the end of a penis or something.
It was like a cobra vagina.
Yes.
Which is a great band, by the way.
The best band from 1978. We are Cobra Vagina.
Yes, very frustrating. Very frustrating. Prometheus was
terrible.
My best of the summer was Expendables 2.
Totally.
I had a lot of fun in that movie. I liked it better than the first one, and to me, that had one of the greatest, if not the greatest, opening action sequences in any movie ever. I mean, it had everything in that sequence. And like when the Expendables logo came on the screen and it put the title on the screen, I just wanted to like punch the air. I was like so amped.
You should just punch Dana.
Punch my wife in the face.
I still love you.
It's okay, baby.
But why were they like Jet Li? Bye.
I know. That was like my biggest problem with it.
He must have had a conflict with some sort of like kung fu movie going on. I know it's racist, but it probably was. I'm sure he had some karate movie going on.
He's like,
His ramen noodles were on the stove. Yeah, is that too racist?
Wow. We just lost our entire Asian audience. So I mean, we don't need to talk about it in great detail because it's been hinted upon throughout this whole podcast. But I had a lot of fun with it. Jean-Claude Van Damme, I thought, was a pretty awesome bad guy.
Yeah.
Even though him and Sly Stallone were completely incoherent for most of the movie, he was super badass in it. And
how does he not age?
I don't know.
Dude, he looked like he had work done.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they both look weathered, but still, like, tight. Like, just, you know, you think they'd be all, like, flabby, I mean, like, skin everywhere, and, I mean...
Although, Sylvester Stallone's arms are kind of scary looking.
Oh, frightening.
Like, super veiny, huge, like, the size of a thigh. His running... How great was Sylvester Stallone's running in the movie? Skinny legs, giant torso, monkey arms.
Yeah, it's something that can't be conveyed accurately over radio. But
no, my
you need to go see
justice.
Expendables 2 because it is amazing. My worst of the summer, which I was really bummed out about, was Piranha 3DD. I was really looking forward to this movie, and I just recently saw it. And to me, the Piranha 3D, I loved. It was campy. It was fun. It was lots of boobies. And it was lots of ridiculous gore. And Jerry O'Connell's penis gets bitten off. It was a really fun time at the movies. This was the laziest piece of shit. I feel like, I mean, it was like they were just trying to capitalize on the like silly exploitation aspect of Piranha 3D. But this one had none of the fun to it at all. And it was just, it was a total bummer. And I mean, it did have a lot of boobies, which was the one silver lining. But other than that, it was, it was bad. It's the guy who directed Feast. And he has no business.
Kind of a douche.
He has no business really directing movies. I hope you enjoyed our first podcast. I know we did. And until then... we'll see you for episode 2.
We don't have a closer.
Beep, 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 beep.
Movies!
All right, guys. So, once again, if you guys want to contact us, please email us at podcast@badmovienight.com. And that's NITE.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at badmovienight.com. Night spelled the same way, obviously. Or you can follow us on Facebook and become friends with our page at facebook.com/badmovienight.com. And thanks again for listening, and we look forward to giving you another episode of Bad Movie Goodness in a couple weeks. Thanks a lot.